that Eliezer was to Rebekah and compare that to what the Holy Spirit is to the church. First of all, he was her convincer.
Eliezer goes to the land of the family, and of course he sees these young ladies with all the camels, and they were going down to the well, and so he sees this one girl. Wow! And he says, "Would you get me a drink?" And this one girl says, "Oh, yes, here, thanks, and I will get water for your camels." She didn't have to do that, but she did it. And there was something inside of Eliezer who said, "Yes, that's her. That's her. That's the one. That's the one." And so right away, in verse 34 and 35, he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy, and he has given him sheep and cattle and silver and gold." And he's talking about Isaac now, you know. He says, "My master Abraham," or Isaac, "is, I'm Abraham's servant, but the Lord has blessed my master Isaac abundantly. He has become wealthy. He has given him sheep, cattle, silver, gold, men servants, and all these things that the father has is given to the son." Everything given to the son. So he starts bragging on his master. He talks about the riches of Abraham. He talks about the resources of Isaac. And then he describes some of these things, sheep and cattle and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. What he's really saying is, my father has it all, and he has given everything to the son. It says that when you're a believer, when you're a son of God, that you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know what that
The same as the word apostasy. It means a great falling away. Let me ask you a question, my friends. How can you fall away from a place where you've never been? It's impossible, isn't it? It's logically impossible. You need to think about that. You cannot fall away from a place that you've never been. And the Apostle Paul says that a great falling away is going to be one of the first things that we're going to see before the second coming of Christ. Our special guest today here on Viewpoint, as we talk about the war to end all wars, Lou Clemenson, and he has written a dramatic, wonderful, I shouldn't say dramatic, I should say a simple outlay of what the scriptures have to say about the end of the age and what is going to come and how you and I should get ready. Jesus, Lou, made a fascinating statement in the book of Luke. He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Why would he say that in the context of warning about the second coming?
Well, he wants to warn people about the coming destruction. And he being so fair like he is, he wants everybody to have a fair warning of what's coming. And he wants to give everybody the opportunity to see the signs of what's coming and to get ready for it.
Right. He had warned about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The evil was so great. The practice of homosexuality, the lack of hospitality, just about everything you could name. It was the grossest fleshly-oriented society that there could have been. And Abraham pleaded with God to save Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "If there are even 10 righteous, would you save it?" God said, "If I could even find 10 righteous, yes, because of you, Abraham, I'll save it." He couldn't even find 10 righteous. So he pulls out Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, and Lot has a couple of daughters and his wife, and they have some men, that is, the daughters have some men to whom they're engaged. And the men just mocked. When they were told about the warning to get out, they mocked and refused to leave. So Lot, together with the angel, they take the two daughters and the wife, and they flee, and the angel says, "Don't look back." But what did Lot's wife do? She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, it seems to me that this is kind of typography for the end of the age, and I think you've properly discerned it in your your book, that if we now look back, if we are infatuated with our culture, if we're infatuated with the American dream beyond the kingdom of God, and we look back and we hold on to those things, we ourselves will not be delivered in the destruction of the world.
You hit exactly on the reason why so many will fall away, because they love the world and its comforts, and they don't want to be deprived of them. And this will probably all be a part of the Antichrist persecution of the church.
Well, I believe that, but you know what I also think? I think we're already in the midst of the apostasy. When you look at what's happening, even among evangelical Christians today, think about it. The divorce rate now among evangelical Christians is equal to that of the nation as a whole. In fact, it's greater, slightly greater. And in the Bible Belt of this nation is 50% higher than the nation as a whole. We have found ways to justify our rebellion. We wrap our rebellion in a robe of righteousness. That's the ultimate deception. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. And this falling away will be so widespread that it will be a sign. It's going to be a conspicuous sign to the people that...
Well, it's only going to be conspicuous to those to whom it's conspicuous. And since the majority are going to fall away, according to my reading of the Scripture, it's not going to be conspicuous to those that are falling away.
No, correct.
And that's why it's deception.
Yes. I think the Antichrist appearance will be something that will be pretty easy to identify and recognize. Somebody proclaiming themselves God and sitting in the temple saying he's God and waging war on the church.
But that's only going to be by the time of the midpoint of the tribulation. How about the period of time leading up to that? I think it's going to be pretty deceptive, even for professing Christians, because they're going to buy into this thing. They're going to love it because it's going to promise them more personal peace and affluence.
There's a lot of deception going on. Paul says that the Antichrist will use lying wonders and deception, and he will deceive many.
Well, let's go to what Jesus had to say. Matthew chapter 24 is called the Olivet Discourse. The day before his crucifixion, Jesus was debriefing with his disciples there on the Mount of Olives, looking over the eastern gate of Jerusalem, and they asked him what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age. And he gives what is called the Olivet Discourse, where he privately discloses to the disciples what's going to happen. The first thing he says is, take heed that no man deceive you. He must have been concerned that professing believers could be deceived.
Absolutely. Well, Jesus' discourse is much longer than Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a bit more doing to put together. It presented two challenges for me. There were three Gospels that record the same discourse, so I had to combine the three accounts to get the whole story. To do this, I laid out the three accounts side by side. They all proceed in the same order of events, so I just combined all the facts included in all three into one single account.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't all that hard to do, but you would have to do it
right
to get the complete record.
All right, first of all, what Gospels, there are four Gospels, what Gospel does not contain Paul's point?
Thank you.
was Mary Hopkins, and those were the days.
Was on the free pussies. Van ochtend om 8:09 gesels ek weer met Anthony Pienaar en Kraaie Kraai Koning. Ons praat vandag oor die therapie van dieren. Hoe therapeutisch troepel dieren kan wees. Ek sê dit iets te wijs dat mense wat troepelhede het leef langer. In geval, dat Anthony ons meer daarvan vertel. Hun omgeving gesels ek met Potsie Potsieke, die arme potsie van middeljarige man. Dit is niet ek om jammer kan nie, maar het werk van haar. Ja, en nou is het bezig met het zelfhelp video om alle mensen te helpen wat hulle werk verloor op die ouderdom. En hy het ons ook nog succes van met die video van hom en sy story, dat ek sê, hy gaan een van die carnival city te kom, vanaf de 4e tot die 20e oktober. Nou, jy het in een papier geleden dat jy kan bespreek van Potiepot gekocht. Maar ek denk, daar is een hele paar dingen wat hy ons kan leren, maar in geval, wacht in 9 uur vanochtend, dan gesels ek met hom. Gedachte vir die dag, en het woord vandag aangebedeerd van Tina Landman, directeur van navorsing bij de navorsingsinstituut voor theologie en religie aan de Universiteit van Zuid-Afrika. Die schriftlezing kom uit spreken 28 vers 24.
Thank you.